You know, I occasionally spy on you all. And last week I spied on your sermon that was given by your rector, dear Paula, whose friendship I value greatly. And she talked about being broken. Do you remember that? Well, I'm here to share with you something better than Elmer's glue or Gorilla glue. It's just plain glue. God loves us eternally. God loves us eternally. Eternally means in all circumstances historically, in all personal matters that we share with one another, in communities of faith, in cities, nations, empires. It is God's love that hovers over us like that dove at the beginning of creation who called order out of chaos. Will you know when the kingdom of God has drawn near to you? And do some of the characters in our readings today provide you with some hints as to what you might see when the kingdom of God draws near to you? The other question is the kingdom of God drawing near to you here in this community of faith? And what are the signs of that community of the kingdom of God? So let's start with the Old Testament reading. How many of you enjoyed that reading? Were able to follow it? Did you see the humor in it? How about the hubris in it? My wife was raised in a Jewish Christian home, but she's more Jewish than Christian. And in that family, they had an expression, I guess it's Yiddish and it goes back a ways, and it went like this. Don't act so big, you're not that small. Don't act that big, you're not that small. The gentleman who was a commander of many, the conqueror of lands for his king, and the slave of his king, had a problem, didn't he? Despite his many wonderful conquests and his stature with his king, he had leprosy. His skin was deformed. And it's interesting that a slave girl brought the kingdom of God close to him. Did you hear that? She was a slave from Israel. And she went to her master and said, there is a prophet in Israel named Elisha. He can heal you. Well, his armies had pretty much done a number on Israel. So the thought of somebody in Israel helping him seemed far-fetched, but she prevailed. He listened, and the kingdom of heaven and healing and hearing the good news of God's loving us eternally drew closer to this man, and humility began to emerge. Do you hear me? And so he goes to his king and says, can you write me a letter? And the king not only wrote a letter, but he sent a treasure chest of items to the king of Israel. When the king of Israel received the letter, heal my servant, what was his response? Abject fear. When the kingdom of heaven draws near, some people experience it with fear. And he pulls his clothes apart. Now, this is the king of Israel, right? Pulls his garments apart. He says, am I God to bring life from death? And when Elisha heard that his king was acting this way, rather unseemly for a king, he goes to him, says, let it be. Send him to me. So Naaman and all of his armed forces arrive outside the house. Elisha doesn't even bother to come out. He sends a messenger, one of his servants, to go tell him to go take a bath 7 times in one of the rivers of Israel. Don't act so big. You're not that small. His response was anger, rage. How dare you? Aren't there rivers in Damascus? So he's ready to go home. Anger and rage oftentimes act like gates and a fortress against the kingdom of heaven. But his servants, again, these are slaves. These are the proclaimers of God's healing kingdom, say, if he asks you to do something really hard, you'd be the first one on board to go, and because then you could claim it was something you had power over. He's asking you to do something simple. He listened. Sometimes it's good to listen. And so he goes and he bathes 7 times, and he's restored. The kingdom of heaven, when it's proclaimed by those sent from Jesus, he's told them to go out into the world that's hostile, that's untrusting, that's fearful, that's rageful, and to proclaim a way of life that is not like that. And he sets them on their path, totally vulnerable in a world of wolves. He says, don't provide for yourself at all. Depend upon the kindness of strangers. Whatever home you go to, give them the peace of God that passes understanding. And if they accept you, your peace will abide with them. If the community, through its fear, through its distrust, through its anger, sends you packing on the way out of town, knock the dust off your feet. Move on. Not like last week's gospel reading, where James and John, what did they want to do? For inhospitality of the Samaritans, they were going to call fire down from heaven on them. I think I prefer the dust bit, don't you? So we're being sent into a world that's not particularly welcoming of the very thing we need the most in the world, the eternal love of God. The thing that holds us together is not the power that we claim for ourselves, the list of accomplishments, how big the stock market is. It's just not about that. It's about opening our hearts to the love of God in forgiveness to others. And the other thing that the apostles were sent to do, heal, proclaim the good news, and the one that most moderns have the most trouble with, cast out demons. How do you cast out demons? Do you know how to do that? How many of you ever read something online that just irritated you no end? And you quickly started to type. Kind of a self-righteous response. How many have ever done that? Okay. The way we cast out demons is not to do that. Because we're demonizing one another, aren't we? And the end result of demonizing people is that you have no community, you have no nation, and the dust of the apostles' feet is at our doorstep. The Holy Spirit, that's a very important part of who God is, invests God's self in each one of us to cast out demons. And Paul tells it in the Galatians. He's not happy with what's going on. But he says, if you're going to admonish somebody, do it with gentleness. Do it with gentleness, with love in your heart. Can you imagine how different that might be if you engage somebody who had sent something that really bothered you online, or someone on the street, or in a store, or in the parish? How different that would be if you let the love of God heal what's broken in you so that you can reach out to them in a way that's loving and yet that speaks to that person's fears, speaks to that person's anger. What a gift. And you're all called to be apostles, aren't you? The word apostle means to be sent. And I guess next week you're going to talk about radical sending. To be sent out into a world that doesn't speak the same language. They've tried to copy it. They've made songs about it. But actually doing it is a very different thing. Every Sunday, you're going to see a priest stand behind that table, and they're going to raise up the host. What happens when he raises or she raises the host? They break it. That breaking is the only way in the world that anyone will share it with anyone else. It is our brokenness, healed, forgiven by the love of God, that is our ambassador, apostle, sending. When you receive the broken body and blood of Christ, you have been commissioned to go into the world to love and serve a world that may not be anxious to hear from you. But as Bishop Bruno used to say, when asked, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, Jesus told me to. Amen.